Good morning, Grace Covenant Church. Good morning. Good morning, all of you watching online from your home. Welcome to church. It's a great day. Yes? I'm in a pineapple costume here. I once heard a pastor say, and it stuck with me, so I'm trying it out. He said, if you can make the people laugh, you can make them listen. Right? And I felt like it was only fitting after just coming off of Bright Night that, you know, I just wear it in here again. Bright Night we had last night. Were you all able to come? I hope so. Maybe some of you watching online, you were able to come drive through our parking lot. We were all dressed up in fun costumes. We chucked candy inside of your car. It was a great time. And if that's not enough reason to wear my pineapple costume on stage this morning, we are in our Fruit of the Spirit sermon series, y'all. So I don't know why none of the other pastors have taken the liberty to dress up as a fruit yet, but hey, you know what? This is the one time. Like, when else can I get away with a pineapple on the stage? And if those two reasons aren't enough, y'all, I'm about to bring it home. It's 2020. So to me, it's like all things are a go at this point, right? They're a go. So I will not wear this the whole time. I promise. I am getting ready to take it off. I do understand it's incredibly distracting, and I'm sorry about that. But we all need to laugh a little bit, right? And I will do that for you. I love you. I am willing to take one for the team. Welcome to church, everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's my favorite place to be. Maybe like an island in the Caribbean, like on vacation with my husband. But other than that, this is my favorite place to be, the house of God. We're so thankful that you're here. For those of you watching online, welcome to church. It's always a good use of your time because when we show up, God shows up and ministers to our hearts. So my name is Becca. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, it's always such a great privilege and honor to share it with you. And I pray that the Lord is gonna speak to us all in very powerful ways as soon as I take this pineapple off, because I don't know that God could speak through me when I look like this. But before I do that, a few fun fruit facts. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there are over 1,000 different varieties of bananas? Did you know that? 1,000. You can only eat a few of them. Most of them are not good to eat due to some sort of common fungal disease. So we don't eat those. But there are nonetheless still 1,000 different varieties. Did you know that eating an apple a day? Well, that's actually not what I was kind of setting you up. That's not what I'm going to say. Eating an apple a day. Listen, lean in. This is good. Delivers more healthy energy than drinking a cup of coffee. You're welcome. I'm just saying. When the coffee service returns here at the church, you might be surprised what you find. You might just be surprised. So you might want to bring your own coffee, in other words. And this one, one more. Did you know that almonds are not actually a nut? What? I'm serious. I'm going to read it. Almonds are not actually nuts at all. They are the seed of the almond fruit, and they come from the peach family. Huh, who knew? Instead of the fruity part becoming flesh as we experience with a peach, when the almond fruit is ripe, the flesh is removed from the hull, and in the form of a small kernel inside, which is known as the almond. Not a nut, y'all. Not a nut. It's a fruit. I'm going to take this off now. Oh, live stream. I'm coming right back. Hang with me. I got to go take off my pineapple. This is might be a little awkward here. But who actually knew that? Did anyone know that? No? Nobody knew that. I didn't either. I was very surprised by that fruit fact. I hope you're not too distracted by the pineapple. Is this better? Can you focus now? Hey, which, by the way, that makes me think, if almonds aren't actually a nut, is my almond butter actually almond butter? Or is it like a jelly? Like, is it almond jelly? I'm so confused now. That was all just bonus. So natural fruit, right? We eat it, we enjoy it, it's good for us. You know what's even better for us? That's right, the fruit of the Spirit. We've been in a sermon series over the past few months on the fruit of the Spirit. They're found in Galatians 5, 22, and 23. You can read here on the screen if you're in-house with us. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, and they've crucified them. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'll see you next week. We could end there. We could let that passage of Scripture stew and stir within us. It's so rich, but we're going to keep going. The fruit of the Spirit, it's what's manifested in us. It's what is visible on the outside as a result of what is happening on the inside of us. It's the fruit that's produced, the fruit that we bear as followers of Christ. Let's take a second and pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for your presence with us. We're thankful for your word, that it's powerful, that it's gentle. God, we trust you're going to accomplish everything in the next few minutes that you want to accomplish. Come and speak through me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the fruit of the Spirit are the attitudes, the behaviors, the traits that someone who believes in Jesus Christ should show. Some seasons, it's a little easier for us to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Would you agree? Yeah. And some seasons, it's possibly a little bit more difficult. I think we are probably in the latter. It's a little bit challenging right now, the world. The enemy is showing up all around us to divide us, to turn us against one another, to strip us of our joy and our peace, to confuse us. But it's no surprise to us. Well, it's no surprise to us because we see in his word, and it's no surprise to God. And in John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you are going to have trouble. So we were warned. We were warned that we are going to have trouble. But here's the good news. Jesus said, don't worry. I'm going away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to help you. He's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. And that's why this sermon series, Locally Grown, The Fruit of the Spirit, is so timely and is so critical and so important, because it reminds us that although we are walking through some difficult days, we don't have to guess at what to do. We don't have to stay confused. We don't have to stay in a place of overwhelm or fear or sadness or despair, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us as sons and daughters of God to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. So it's a life walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness today, and then self-control. We'll close our series next week. Gentleness is our fruit focus for today. By the way, if you've missed any of them, I recommend you go back and listen to the last few weeks. It's incredibly rich teaching, timely teaching for us that will minister to your heart. So they're all available on our website, or you can scroll back on the Facebook or YouTube and you can find all of the previous messages there. Philippians 4:5 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. So what is gentleness? I just want you to take a second and think about the word gentleness. Think about what comes to mind for you. Before I jump into a few things that gentleness is, I'd love to share a few things that gentleness is not, because I think we can really quickly dismiss this characteristic because maybe it doesn't fit with like our personality, you know? It's not our preference. Like I am strong. I am fierce. I am bold. I have an opinion. I'm going to take a stance. I'm not going to let people walk all over me. I'm not going to be passive. I don't shrink back. Gentleness doesn't come naturally to me. And I think there's often a negative connotation related to the word gentleness, due in part possibly to the fact that gentleness is often translated, do you all know? Meekness, which sounds very similar to weakness, but they're very different. Meekness and weakness are not the same thing. So let's first start with what gentleness is not. Gentleness is not weakness. It's the exact opposite, because gentleness can only be shown through strength. Maybe you've heard the quote before, there's nothing as strong as gentleness. Kind of have to think about that one for a minute. Those are two words that typically don't go together. Nothing is as strong as gentleness. Gentleness means you have strength under control. Strength under control. So what does that look like? In my studying for today, I came across a fascinating word study of the Greek word meek. Again, meek with an M, not weak. And the word is pros, P-R-A-U-S. The word actually refers to horse training, and I read that armies would find the wildest horses in the mountains, and they would bring them in to be trained and broken in. And once a horse would pass the conditioning required to become a war horse, its state was now described as pros, or gentle, meek. So the war horse now had that strength under control. A war horse never ceased to be determined, strong, passionate. However, it learned to bring its nature under discipline. It gave up being wild and unruly and rebellious. It brought its nature under discipline, and it learned how to have strength under control. Maybe a little bit more relatable example. I see strength under control in my 5-year-old daughter over the past couple years. Her coloring has gone from this, right, to this, and now she's learning how to stay within the lines and control her strength. I saw that when we were carving our pumpkins, these intricate, detailed faces into those pumpkins that you're now proudly displaying on your front porches. I see it when my husband lets our boys win an arm wrestling match, right? He's practicing strength under control, also known as gentleness. Think about it. Do you practice strength under control? What are some areas in your life where you see strength under control? We're going to take a look here real quick at what strength under control is not, and it's the opposite of that. This video is entitled, If We Did Everything Aggressively. Let's take a look.
Hey, Daniel, can you pass me the blanket?
It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. There are more of those videos, so you're welcome for that. You should go look them up. They're hilarious. I had a hard time picking which one to use. There's 4 of them. That's called If We Did Everything Aggressively. Sometimes, especially lately, does that kind of seem like how we're living our life in a way? So we've determined that gentleness is not weakness, and we've determined that gentleness is actually the opposite. It's strength, but it's strength under control. So why do we need the characteristic of gentleness? We see in Matthew 5:5 from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, blessed, and in the Amplified Version it says, inwardly peaceful, spiritually secure, worthy of respect. So blessed are the gentle, or the meek, the kind-hearted, the sweet-spirited, the self-controlled, for they're the ones that are going to inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's a big statement. The gentle are going to inherit the earth. When I think of inherit, I think of to receive possession of, to have authority over, to walk in favor, to claim the earth as God's, to be the victorious sons and daughters, to make his name famous. Isn't that what we're called to do? And we do that, we inherit the earth by walking in gentleness. One might think that to inherit the earth, it would take an aggressive or a pushy or a dominant or a really controlling personality to acquire that kind of blessing. But to inherit the earth, it requires a gentle person. Yeah. Because see, the way I think of it is our main goal here as Christians on this earth while we're here as sons and daughters and followers of Christ is to be the salt and light. Would you agree? To be kingdom builders. That's our goal. And what other people that don't know Christ, what others are attracted to is not pushy, aggressive, controlling behavior, but they're attracted to gentleness. Not being forceful or aggressive or easily angered. See, overreacting, being driven by emotion, self-righteousness, looking for retaliation and revenge, all of those things, they might feel good to us, but they're not effective for building the kingdom of God. They're not attractors. They don't attract that type of behavior, those characteristics. They don't attract people. They push people away. They're actually deflectors. So what is effective then? I love 1 Peter 3:8. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, be humble. Don't repay evil for evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may, there it is again, inherit a blessing. So a couple things that came to mind for me that I felt like the Lord highlighted in regards to what does gentleness look like for us. Here are a few things. A soft, gentle spirit is aware and shows concern for a lost and broken world. A soft, gentle spirit sees others the way that Christ sees them. Not through our own eyes, but the way that Christ sees them. A soft, gentle spirit makes others feel safe and willing to engage in conversations. A soft, gentle spirit speaks the truth in ways that others can receive it. There is a way to communicate effectively and ineffectively. And a soft, gentle spirit is one that creates unity and peace. So our main takeaway, if you're going to remember anything, maybe jot this down. When we show gentleness, we are expressing the heart of God. And we are attracting others to the gospel message. When we show gentleness, we express the heart of God and we attract others to the gospel message. Proverbs 25:15, patient persistence pierces through indifference, but gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. Not but, and. Patient persistence pierces through indifference, and gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer. So this is about that communicating, speaking the truth that others can receive it. Create a safe space. Give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But here's the thing. There's a but. It says, but do it with gentleness and respect. When we show gentleness, we express the heart of God and we attract others to the gospel message. Becca, that's great. That's great. But you don't know the people in my life. You don't know them. You're not in my shoes. You must have easier people in your life. You don't know what I'm up against at my work, in my mission. You want me to be gentle to those people? Yeah. Yeah, because here's how I see it. This is what the Lord showed me. When we do our part and we operate in gentleness, God will show up and do the rest. He's calling us to do our part, saying, God, I'm stepping into gentleness, even when I don't want to, even when they have offended me, even when they are absolutely 100% wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to do my part, and I'm saying I'm trusting you to meet me here in this place, because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the one who actually is going to change hearts, not us. It's not our only responsibility, church, for walking in gentleness. Pointing is to walk in gentleness, pointing people to the gospel. We don't need to convict others. We don't need to call out their sin, being quarrelsome, being argumentative or hasty. But instead, we do what it says in Ephesians. We live a life worthy of our calling. Again, when we walk in gentleness, we're saying, God, I trust that you're going to fight for me, that you're going to fight in the midst of this situation, that you're going to make wrong things right, that you're going to reveal the things that need to be revealed. My job is to simply express the gentle, soft, loving, nurturing, kind, considerate character of God. That's my job. See, the world doesn't need more of our correction. The world needs more of the Holy Spirit's conviction. That's the Holy Spirit's part. The world doesn't need more of our correction. So gentleness looks like winning souls, not arguments. Less about competition and more about unity. Gentleness looks like focusing on the gospel message more than our pride. And it looks like forgiving quickly and authentically. Again, when we show gentleness, we express the heart of God and we attract others to the gospel message. I love 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. It says, refuse to get involved in inane, meaning ridiculous, childish, immature discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servant must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know, here it is, you never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and a turning to the truth. That's God's job, remember. Enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they are caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. That's from the Message version, 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. What is this verse telling us? In this season, can we commit to being better listeners? To being more kind? My goodness, we could use some more kindness. Can we commit to being teachers who keep their cool? Using our voices, yes. Taking a stand, yes. Fighting for what we believe in, yes. But doing it in a gentle, God-honoring way that doesn't bring more attention to us, but that points to our Savior. There's a story in John 8 of the adulterous woman. You all might be familiar with it. I love this story because Jesus shows such incredible compassion and gentleness with this woman. So basically, to quickly paraphrase, the Pharisees were publicly shaming an adulterous woman. They brought her to Jesus and they said, "Do you know what she has done? She needs to be stoned." And Jesus calmly and gently looked down and the Bible says, started writing in the dirt. And he looked up and he looked down and he wrote, and then he said, "You who have not sinned, you go ahead and cast the first stone." And one at a time, they turned and they left. And so then it was just Jesus and the woman. And Jesus looked at her and said, "So is there no one here to condemn you?" And she said, "No, no, not one." In other words, they had all sinned. And he said, "Nor do I condemn you." And he forgave her and he said, "Go and sin no more." And Jesus, we see in this story, was so compassionate and kind. And guess what? Jesus is still compassionate and kind. He doesn't condemn us. Maybe you haven't committed adultery, but can you think of a time when God has been gentle to you? How many times have you been wrong and not had to suffer? We do wrong our brothers and sisters sitting beside us and in our homes. We all make mistakes. No one is perfect. And the Bible tells us, here's the takeaway from this story and example. Colossians 3:12, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Here we go. "Making allowance for each other's faults and forgiving those who offend you." Forgiving those who offend you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. We can respond to others with gentleness. We can do it. We can respond to others with gentleness, just like our Heavenly Father does for us. But how do we do that? How do we forgive? How do we show compassion? It's challenging. Here's how we do it. Two things that came to me as I was preparing. We do it through two things. Humility, that's key. And the Holy Spirit. It's got to be through the power of the Holy Spirit that we walk in gentleness. See, someone who lacks gentleness is often prideful, easily angered, or feels the need for revenge. This is where the humility part comes in. In order to be gentle, we must be humble, not asserting superiority over anyone or viewing ourselves as better than or above. James 4, God opposes the proud, but what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. So we have to be humble to walk in gentleness. We have to ask God to remove our pride and our self-righteousness. And we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, I believe that we'll see the changes that we're so desperately longing for when collectively, as a body of Christ, we really start walking in less of us and more of the Holy Spirit. Less of us. We have a sinful nature. We are not going to get the job done. But the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Take John the Baptist as an example when he says, "Jesus must become greater and I must become less." That is the goal. Jesus greater, myself less. That's what this whole locally grown Fruit of the Spirit series is all about. The only way that we can do what it says in Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people, is to be filled and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Same with Ephesians 4:2. The only way we can be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing one another in love, is through a power that's greater than ourselves, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So a few key takeaways, and then I want to close with a little story. When we show gentleness, we express the heart of God, and we attract others to the gospel message. The world doesn't need more of our correction or condemnation or criticism. The Holy Spirit will do that part, the conviction. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. The Holy Spirit gently corrects us and convicts us in a kind, loving way. We can respond to others with gentleness. We all have faults, and we all sin, and we can choose to respond to others with gentleness, extending grace and forgiveness, just like our Heavenly Father did for that adulterous woman, and just like He does for us each and every day when we stumble. And before we can extend gentleness, here's kind of the thought that I want to close with. We have to experience it personally. So all of those things that I've shared, all of the characteristics and the why and the what, that's all great. But until we have a personal experience of the gentleness of our Father towards us, it's hard to extend it to others because it's going to be an overflow of what's happening on the inside of us. Does that make sense? It's like when you learn a trait or you want to teach something, you can always, once you've been through it, then you're better equipped to be able to help others and walk in it. Yeah? I've learned many valuable lessons as a mother of three children. Upon waking your children from their cozy slumber, you should never be rushed. Don't be rushed. Practicing gentleness when you wake your kids up from their sleep, it's always a good thing. Flipping on the lights abruptly, it leads to quarrels. That's not in the Bible, but it probably could be. Flipping on the lights in your child's bedroom always leads to quarrels. Instead, a slower, more gradual approach is much more effective. On mornings that I wake my daughter up, one of the things I enjoy most is quietly walking into her bedroom, pulling back the curtains to let just the right amount of sun come in. And I gently position myself beside her, and I start rubbing her back, and I whisper good morning to her, and I tell her how much I love her, and I ask her what she dreamed about and what she's hoping for the day. And from her bedroom window, there's the perfect view of the sunrise, and we like to watch it together. And every morning that I do this, it reminds me when I watch that sun come up, and it's a slow process, and it's a soft, gentle process. It reminds me of how soft and gentle and compassionate our loving Father is, yet so powerful. When the sun comes up, it has the ability to illuminate the entire earth. He is such a gentle, kind, loving, considerate Father. Could you imagine if He just flipped the sun on? If it just like, boom, came on every morning? Like, whoa. No. Soft, gentle, from the beginning of time, we see this Holy Spirit hovered, floated over the water. He breathed life. Our Father God is kind and considerate and gentle. This picture, it makes me think, I wonder, and I don't wonder because I know it's true, God's always wanting to come in to our rooms and to our lives. Imagine yourself as the one in the bed sleeping. And he's not going to push, and he's not going to come in and flip on the lights and rip off the covers and expose us and shame us. No, he's a perfect gentleman. He's knocking on our hearts today, and he's saying, I want to come in and sit with you, not to condemn you, but to call you by name, to tell you how much I love you. See, when we're in the presence of God here in this place and at your home, all guilt and shame are washed away, like we sang about. All guilt and shame can wash away. So what I'm getting at is, until we can allow the Father God to come in and minister to our hearts and wash away hurts and wash away pain and wash away guilt and shame, that we're not going to be able to walk in the gentleness towards others because we first need to experience it ourselves. We need our hearts to be healed. And maybe that's you in this place. Maybe you need to ask God to come into your room. And here's the beautiful thing. He's going to do it in such a gentle way. You don't have to be afraid. If you're living in sin, God has compassion towards you. If you're doing things you shouldn't, God has compassion towards you. If you've built up walls in your heart because you've never experienced gentleness in your life, you don't know what that is like, and you're bitter and you're hurting, God sees you, and God wants to heal you. So we're going to pray together as we close. If you want to stand up, if you're here, if you're at home, if you want to stand up, go ahead and stand. It's been a tough season, and like that video, it's like sometimes it just feels like we're just walking through life with our guard up and we're aggressive and we're, you know, on the defense. But God wants to break some things down in our hearts today as we close. He doesn't intend for you to go through any season alone, this season included. He wants to bring you freedom into your heart so that we can walk in gentleness, so that we can have all the promises that are in his word. As we pray, I want us to think about this verse in Matthew 11:28. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So let's pray and believe that God's going to meet us. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that it's powerful yet gentle at the same time. God, we receive your gentle correction. We receive your gentle guidance, your mercy, your grace. Would you speak to each one individually? God, would you reveal areas in our lives that need to be softened, that maybe we're blind to, the areas that we don't know about, and then God, for the areas that we do know about and where we're hurting, God, would you minister? Would you pour out your love and your gentle touch? For those of us that need more strength to walk in gentleness towards others, would you dissolve feelings of pride and self-righteousness? God, I pray today over each one, myself included, God, that our sinful nature would decrease so that you can increase. That is our prayer. Help us, God, to receive your gentleness and also to walk in gentleness. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you for being with us today, church. Listen, we have our prayer team up front. If you need prayer for anything at all, anything, please don't miss the opportunity for us to stand and agree with you. Church family online, thank you so much for tuning in. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you back next Sunday.